On today's Compassion Radio.
100 years ago, as you pointed out, the missionaries who went, they took all their belongings in a casket because it was a one-way trip.
Yeah.
And every person they encountered had not heard the gospel.
Yeah.
And we have amazing stories in Sub-Saharan Africa. You know, Sub-Saharan Africa is more Christian than Colorado Springs or Oklahoma or Grand Rapids, Michigan today.
Indeed.
And it's because of the sacrifice. But the data tells us there's all kinds of these nations or people groups without access. The body of Christ is not equipped and it's not sought out, the understanding of that. And until we do, we're going to have some prayers that maybe could be even more effective.
There are those who say you can name and claim anything you want and you're guaranteed to get it, because it's our right to get good things from God. Without some context and limits, that idea leads us way outside Orthodox Christianity. But what about the things God has promised us without reservation? Well, let's start with James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without reservation or finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now that's something we can all hang our hats on, if we're willing to do so. And once we have wisdom, we can ask for anything that is truly wise, and God's pleasure should be obvious. I'm certain He'll honor prayers that derive from His own wisdom and compassion. Greg Kelly and his team at World Mission have put that principle into practice. They're not shy or ashamed to name and claim the things that God says He wants to give, and the ways He wants to give Himself for others. Today on Compassion Radio, I conclude our latest conversation with Greg as we tackle the question of what does God really want us to pray? And who are the people that are on His mind? Thanks for joining us today.
Some of the people that we read about that had those great missional adventures of the 19th and early 20th centuries, we read about them having visions of people they've never met or hearing a tongue spoken they've never heard. And they speak about it. They actually proclaim it, saying, "This is a word from God. I don't know what it means, but He's opening a door for me." And then they end up on the mission field and, by way of circumstances, encountering that scene they dreamt of, that God dropped eternity in their hearts and said, "This is where I will have you." And so for God, it's in the immediate. It's now. When He calls us, it's our future, but it's His now. And I think, too, about those people. They don't just have those visions because they sat around doing a mundane job and not thinking about important things. These are people of prayer. These are people that invested themselves and trusted that God would show them the way to make the most impact, to invest and find a higher return for their investment in the kingdom over the years, even at the cost of their lives, if necessary. But they prayed that way. And you see that kind of prayer ethic in the people that you have ministered to on the field as well. How does that translate now, my friend, into the way we should be praying or reaching out to God and expecting God to answer our prayers?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, praying for the harvest fields that we've never been to or never will go to is paramount to the Great Commission being fulfilled. I can remember the day I got saved, Bram. This principle was seated in my life as I was a 20-year-old knucklehead. Fortunately, my now wife, who was my girlfriend, was missionary dating, and the Lord used her to get me into a church. I am so thankful as well. You know, as she got me into this church, as the net of the gospel was shared, walked down to receive Christ. And when I turned around, Bram, I'll never forget, because I saw ladies I had never met that Kathy had just met, sharing the story of what was going on, how I had just come to Christ. And they were crying. They were crying for me. And I really feel like the Lord imparted that seed right in my first day as His follower, as a seed that would prepare me to lead here at World Mission. And it's this principle. We have to have a compassionate heart. In fact, I would go so far as to say our heart needs to break over these places in the world where the gospel's never been, just as much as it breaks for maybe an uncle or a parent or maybe even a spouse that has refused Jesus, a hard heart, right? Yeah. And our heart breaks for them. In the same way, we need to have compassion for those around the world and a broken heart that don't have access to the gospel. So the body of Christ really needs to equip itself from a mental standpoint of what is the condition of the harvest. You know, there's a lot of things that are high water marks in missions today. We're sending more missionaries than any time in history. We are sending more Bibles than any time in history. We are sending more resources than any time in history. There's more people with a strategy to how do we complete the Great Commission. And at the same time, we have access to more data than any time in history. And I'm just afraid that we're not taking advantage of that. 100 years ago, as you pointed out, the missionaries who went, they took all their belongings in a casket because it was a one-way trip.
Yeah.
And every person they encountered had not heard the gospel.
Yeah.
And we have amazing stories in sub-Saharan Africa of going from 0%. You know, sub-Saharan Africa is more Christian than Colorado Springs or Oklahoma or Grand Rapids, Michigan today.
Indeed.
And it's because of the sacrifice. But the data tells us there's all kinds of these nations or people groups without access. The body of Christ is not equipped and has not sought out the understanding of that. And until we do, we're going to have some prayers that maybe could be even more effective as we inserted the name the Sheikh, as we inserted the name the Hausa or the Fulani or the Somalis or whatever, as we're calling out to the Lord of the harvest.
Well, so we're calling out those names as we get taught and as we learn them. How do you educate people over here about the people groups that God has put on your radar?
You know, I think it starts with just the understanding of why that's important, because I think historically the way we've done missions is based upon country.
Mm-hmm.
So we've said, I'm a missionary to Bangladesh, I'm going on a short-term mission trip to Kenya, etc. And that obviously gives us a proximity of the where, but Jesus didn't call us to make disciples of all countries.
Mm-hmm.
He called us to make disciples of all nations, which is, of
peoples.
Course, as you so frequently speak about, the people groups, the ethne of the world. And within the 195 countries, there are over 17,000 nations.
Yeah.
So before we can really talk about the nations, we need to first cross that understanding of country versus people group. And now, once we have that understanding, now we can go to resources like the Joshua Project, which is an amazing resource where people can see any one of the people groups of the earth and how many people are within them and how many Christians, how many Hindus, how many Muslims, everything. So you have that information. And then as we get that, now we can start praying with clarity and intentionality and direction, naming out those nations that are yet without a gospel witness.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, too, if you try to explain to people, why are so many mission dollars or missionaries going to this one country? And then you explain that we've got 200 people groups in that one country. It makes it different. You know, if you have a more monolithic nation, state, and culture that goes with it, and they're spread over a larger geographic area, you may be sending less people because the ability to build networks within that one language group are stronger. So you divide the world by uniting our understanding of the peoples and becoming aware of those that are there. But I want to go back to the issue of compassionate thinking and action towards people. It is really hard to be compassionate to those that you want to look away from because you feel like you're entitled to do so. It is easier now, my friend, I think, to think in terms of the Fulani or somebody I know I will personally never meet, or people that are unlikely to be competing for my job, than it is to think about my Samaria, the people that are physically, literally cheek and jowl with me, but are, in my minds, strange or other or apostate. But, you know, Jesus did not give it to us in the order he did to make it easy for us to reach the entire world. He made it so it would be difficult for us and draw us toward him. That's my personal belief. What is it about our Samaria right now that we're not doing? Or what are the things that World Mission is focusing on to say, we need to take our Samaria seriously too? And how do you define it?
Well, I think recognizing the Samaria is critical for all of us because, again, there's these four quadrants that, you know, really at the time, obviously geographic in nature, but I believe also there's a spiritual condition associated with your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. And the people different than us, I mean, obviously that's the one that's the trick, right? They don't speak my language or they don't like me or they're rude to me or whatever. And I think it all comes back to just having that heart of God, hungering and thirsting for it. Because in our own strength, Bram, we are never going to want to go there. It's the fallen human condition we have. So it's not until we fall in love with Jesus and get the Spirit of God just saturated in our life. And that's a daily process over and over and over that we come to that point. I mean, to want to love our persecutor and recognize that eternity is at stake. Sometimes we look at the mission field as the issue. Mm. And really the truth is, the issue is our heart.
Yeah, indeed.
Because until our heart has gotten to such a state of brokenness and love for Jesus, we'll never identify with the thing that makes no sense, which is how am I to love that very person? I'll tell you just one quick story, Bram.
Please.
That really blew my mind when I met a young boy. This was in the first days of Boko Haram when it broke out in northern Nigeria. And anyone, as the listeners I'm sure have heard, Boko Haram means Western education is evil. So mm-hmm. this radical Muslim group will go around terrorizing northern Nigeria, now in the central part, targeting anything that is favorable or accepting of Western education as a target. And this brother, just such an anomaly, a Muslim man, a successful business guy, had an encounter with Jesus, came to Christ, and started reaching out and winning Muslims to Christ. He became this massive threat.
Yeah, he did.
And Boko Haram put a hit on his life and literally broke into his home while his son was in the living room and executed him in front of his 12-year-old son. They kidnapped the boy, took him, beat him, forced him to become, you know, hey, you're not a Christian. Your dad was a terrible man for rejecting Islam. You are a Muslim. And they kept that boy under wraps for several weeks, trying to convince him, okay, you're now Muslim. And at the first opportunity he had to run, he did. And he made his way to the only pastor he knew in that area and just showed up. And long story short, they connected him with our guys that work in that area, and we were able to get him out.
Wow.
But they asked the boy the question. They said, son, you knew that if they caught you, they would have killed you as well. Why did you run? And his answer was, the bullet that killed my father has made me more determined to follow Jesus.
The teams and the in-country partners of World Mission personally meet with the people that need Jesus right where they live and serve them in practical ways. It's not just a pump-and-dump operation where you check off another people group just because you spent 5 minutes driving through. These folks are committed to the thorough transformation of individuals, communities, and nations through the power of the incomparable Word of God. We'll be back with the last segment of my discussion with Greg Kelly of World Mission right after this. And I want you to give it just as much attention because it's about how this partnership happens. And if we ignore it, there is no future for a partnership like this. Today, I'm reminded of an interesting detail I learned years ago about the Chinese language symbol for the word crisis. It's a contraction of two symbols that stand for danger and opportunity. I find that fascinating. Folded into one word are deep implications for the situation that we find ourselves in today. The world is in shock right now. As people of faith, we have a real opportunity to face that crisis and seize the opportunity to trust God and to make Jesus known. I'm convinced that true compassion has real power when it's rooted in the truth of God's presence and promises. For 78 years now, Compassion Radio partners like you have absolutely been up to the challenge. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2021? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. On our Monday broadcasts, we've been highlighting the book of John, and our special edition of that dynamic gospel is our special thank you for your support of Compassion Radio in this critically important time. I'd love to send you a copy today. Just let us know you'd like one when you give online, by phone, or by postal mail. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our Safe and Secure Order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
They kidnapped the boy, took him, beat him, forced him to become, you know, hey, you're not a Christian. Your dad was a terrible man for rejecting Islam. You are a Muslim. And they kept that boy under wraps for several weeks, trying to convince him, okay, you're now Muslim. And at the first opportunity he had to run, he did. And he made his way to the only pastor he knew in that area and just showed up. And long story short, they connected him with our guys that work in that area, and we were able to get him out. Wow. But they asked the boy the question. They said, son, you knew that if they caught you, they would have killed you as well. Why did you run? And his answer was, the bullet that killed my father has made me more determined to follow Jesus. Now, that's powerful from a 12-year-old boy to have that understanding, but he saw the transformation in his father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he had a compassion for his persecutors. And today, he leads evangelism groups that are going back into these very same areas, targeting these areas, people who hate Christians, and sharing the love of Jesus. That's a dramatic example, Bram, but that's what needs to happen to our hearts for us to have the same kind of love and compassion.
The only analog I can think of in our culture, since we're probably not going to be under physical threat as much, is just the idea that if we, as followers of Jesus Christ, as adults, as parents, would allow the Spirit to help us to die to self, and that transformation can truly be perceived by our children, that the testimony they carry forward in the years to come would be, my dad was willing to die for me and for Jesus. I can follow that example, and it's one that is worth following. And I would pray that for any family, that if we fear for our kids and we're locked in fear, why not be courageous like that father and just live for Jesus and be unashamed about sharing that transformed life with your own kids? And let them see the change, even if it's embarrassing to them. Mm-hmm. Let them perceive it.
Yes.
You know, you touched earlier, Greg, and I want to kind of wrap up our conversation on this, about the power of God breaking our heart for those who are far from Him or that might be persecuting us or at least making life difficult for us because they are in resistance or in opposition to the truth that lives within us. But I think we need to be very specific, spiritually speaking, in the difference between our heart breaking because people have hurt us or continue to, and God breaking our heart for those who continue to hurt or persecute us. Speak to that a little bit about how your prayers are much different when you're transformed in your understanding of God's heart breaking for these people.
Well, when I think about Jesus' ministry, I think it certainly would have been easy for Jesus just to stick around the places that wanted him, and the friendlies, and the people that loved him, and the people that honored him. I mean, that in and of itself, that would have been the path of least resistance. Yeah. But that's not what he chose. He modeled for us. He went intentionally into the very places, and disciples after him. Think about Paul. I mean, going intentionally into the lion's den to share the good news of Jesus, where he could have just had a plush, easy time of just staying in the places where he planted churches, where they adored him and loved him, and just continued to make disciples. He could have made a great case for that, but that's not what he chose. So I think we need to model those who went before us, and especially Jesus, by going into these places and recognizing that God is going to reach people by using people. And if that's the case, then the heart is everything, because my heart is not naturally, instinctively going to want to go to these places where they're different than me or where they don't like me. And so it really comes down to the more I know him, Bram, the more I love him, the more of him I have inside of me, the more I'm going to want to find myself in places where I'm at odds with the other. And it's not about locking horns or having an argument. I think a lot of things that have happened in this last 12 months is there's been a lot of intellectual arguing.
Yeah.
We need to get past that. We can't allow that to become a standard, an accepted standard in the church and in the bride of Christ. We need to, you know, stop taking offenses and recognize, hey, we can have some differences while we're in this temporary earth, but at the end, it's about eternity. And do we know Jesus? And God is going to use us as we avail ourselves to be in some pretty uncomfortable situations, just depositing him. We're not responsible for the changing of heart. That's his business. He said, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the increase. So that we just need to be about farming, Bram. We need to be about planting seed and watering. That's our business.
Hauling the buckets here and there, as God tells us, that's the place that needs the water.
Yeah.
Greg Kelly of World Mission up there in Grand Rapids, thank you for staying in the field. You know, we talk a lot in this program about how important it is that we stay in the game and in the field. It's not just your heart. It's your whole mission statement. It's where you spend your time and your treasure, and how you invest in people is where God's word is touching lives in unique ways with unique cultures that are so different from us, we think. But at the baseline, we discover we have deep friendships that will last for eternity if we'll just take the time to say, this person I know is valuable to God. I know that in my mind. But if I'll spend time with them and make it possible for them to discover the same God who loves me, that there's a treasure I can give away to these people which will last beyond this life. In fact, it might even change nations. Like you're saying, the CAR is under siege right now, but there's still a seed of life there because of missionaries that poured their lives out on that soil 100 years ago or more. Mm. Same thing's true of the Christians pouring out their blood on the sands of Iraq and Syria. They are, if we really truly believe the history and the scriptures, they are the seed of the faith. They will grow a crop of righteousness. God will not forget the blood of the righteous on the sands. He will redeem it. He will invest it in his kingdom and grow something beautiful and new because he's that faithful of a farmer. And he wants us to be faithful that way too and invest in the things that really do have eternal significance and don't just pander to our own fears. So anyway, I thank you so much for your heart and your continuing enthusiasm even when things can be frustrating and can be time-consuming and you sit around twiddling your thumbs saying, when, Lord, can I get back out there? Because I miss my people. I want to see what you're doing there. I want to get more stories. And we're right there with you. And we are your listening ears. And we are your biggest cheerleaders. So thank you so much for letting us come along with you in all of the phases of your adventure. You've been great to us. And I hope we had a chance to sit down together soon.
Thanks, Bram. Always great to be with you and the Compassion Radio family. Love you guys so much.
My deepest thanks for Greg Kelly's willingness to spend the past few programs with us to share what's going on at the front lines of faith, even in a time of greater challenge than we've known for years. If you'd like to learn more about the International Orality Ministry of World Mission and the places where they work, head over to worldmission.cc. And thank you, friend, for your encouragement and support of Compassion Radio. We literally cannot continue to do what we do without your support. for supporting us with your gift. Simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.